Well, this is an interesting day right now. I'm not sure how it all came together, but it just did. And I guess partly was the board of directors. Normally we do what's called an annual general meeting in around the end of April-ish, somewhere around there. And we felt with the number of things that were taking place, it would be better if we did more of a presentation of our of things that have been going on, some of the wins we've had, some of the challenges we're facing. And we always face challenges. If you're alive, if you're breathing, you face challenges. And just how God's working with us and in us. So we decided, let's do a big bash. We didn't know what to call it at first, and so I'm not the greatest with titles. Uh-oh. Hold on, stand by. Oh, good. Gosh, I've had a couple of that this morning where it's just, I got a blank page, right? That's panicky for me. So, back on track here. So we decide, let's have a bash. Let's have a celebration. Let's eat. Let's eat together. Let's celebrate. Let's share what's going on. And so let's not do the AGM thing. Let's just talk and let's just share. And this, so we decided to compile the whole service. Make it one big special event that we're going to do. And so, yes, after this is done, rip the chairs back, roll in the tables, tables up, chairs around, and during that time, food will be set up. Hopefully you brought food. If you didn't, God will multiply. Or he'll only have to add. Won't have to go into the multiplication. And we'll have food set up, and we'll enjoy a meal. We'll do some presentations, and then we'll have a... We'll get into the, after the coffee dessert type stuff, we'll get into some of the core basics that we want to talk to you about. So, with that in mind, this is all part of the series we're doing, which is about being a disciple, about doing the work, and about doing the work, and it applies to us as well, about us, when I say us as a church, us as a church. So this is a message for us. Now, so let me start with this little story. The first half of life is fantastic. My first half was great. Yeah, I'm on the second half right now. Well, sure, depends how you want to look at that. But I'm on the second half, and so the first half was great because for me, one thing I loved about the first being, 20s, 30s, 40s, is that I could eat what I want and it had no effect on me, right? Zero. It was great. It was just like, I don't know what these people are talking about. That was just the way I was blessed. And then things began to change. I did become a little worried when I was cruising into the age 50. And only because I was like literally concerned because I had two older brothers that had had two major heart attacks at age of 52, both 52. And so there was a concern with me. And I started to notice things change within me as far as health-wise, not going the way I wanted them to go. It was like, what's up with you, body? You're not cooperating here, right? And it was a little bit frustrating, to say the least. But then it was one time during a quiet time, because I have my times, try to every day, where I just sit with the Lord, I read some scripture, and I listen, let him speak to me. And I know it was God, because God loves us. He knows what we're worrying about, because that's what's on our mind. He knows what we think. And it was like he said, so you got two options. Either you can continue living the way you are and just manage your meds, because you'll need to, that's an option, or you can change your lifestyle. And that's it. There's no other option. You got two options. And I remember thinking that. I was like, gosh, that's my choice. And I pondered that for some time. I had to think this one through, because that's a difficult, like for me, that was tough. Eventually, I came to the decision to choose option two, which meant I had to change my whole perspective on food. I had to change my lifestyle. And it was hard. It was really hard because I'm used to doing this, and now I got to do this. And this wasn't so much fun. But that's the decision I made. Because I had never planned to live an unhealthy lifestyle, never. But it just started to happen. Little shifts along the way, and all of a sudden, I've developed some habits, or I've developed a way of living. And it was just this shift that took place. And we never plan to do shifts. We never plan for the shifts to take place in our life, do we? Like, I never woke up one morning and went, you know what? Hell with it. I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to eat what I want. I don't care. I never did that. Never did that. Always good intentions. Always. And then shift, shift, shift. And here I am going down this path. And we tend to do that. The nation Israel. Now let's get into some scripture. The nation Israel. When they had gone into exile, and they're coming back, and the big story was rebuilding the temple. And God tapped them on the shoulder. Tap, tap, tap. And he tapped them on the shoulder, and he had a number of prophets that he spoke through. But he tapped them on the shoulder, and he chose a man by the name of Haggai to go and speak to the Israelites. I want to speak to my people, and I'm going to speak through you, Haggai. And I have a question for them. I'm perplexed. And I need an answer. I need to understand. And here's the question. The interesting thing about Haggai is that it's just two chapters. Very short. You could actually memorize a book in the Bible. You could memorize that book. Two chapters. And here's God's question to the people through the prophet Haggai. And he says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying, well, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Well, then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? That's verse 2, 3, and 4. What God is saying there is, okay, I hear you saying it's not time to rebuild my house, but I look at your houses. Apparently it's time to build your house. Fix your house up. Explain. That's what he's asking. Can you help me understand here? Because one thing doesn't look like the other. And I don't get it. I'm not following. I'm not tracking. And for the Israelites, what had happened was things had shifted a bit. They weren't being intentional. They weren't turning their back on God or anything like that. It wasn't that at all. Something had shifted. And God wants to make some observations to them. And he continues on from that question saying, have you noticed how things are going on in your life? Have you noticed? Have you picked up that when you plant, you don't harvest as much? Do you notice that? Have you noticed? Have you noticed when you eat and when you drink, you're just not quite satisfied? Have you noticed these things? Have you noticed that your money doesn't seem to last very long? It just evaporates. And God says, that's me. That's me. That's me. Because something had shifted. And God was saying to them, I'm not your center anymore. Something has shifted. Something has taken my place. And I'm not your center. Shifts. We don't notice it at first. They're just little things, little decisions that get made. And something just, all it has to be is just a chink. And we see things differently, and it affects all of our decisions. Things change. And it's subtle. It's sort of like when your car goes out of alignment. Have you ever had your car go out of alignment? Mostly, people don't know it's out of alignment until they take it in and the mechanic has your car up on the hoist and the mechanic goes, hey, I want to show you something. And you waltz into the garage. And he says, you see your tires here? They're wearing. Your car's out of alignment. And you go, really? Oh. Yeah, you're going to need an alignment. And bad news is I got to replace all your tires. And that's the bad news, right? It's like, wow, I didn't even notice that. That's how subtle shifts are. We don't even notice it. So now let me get into some nitty-gritty here. You need to know that I have agonized over why, since coming onto this property, we have struggled. Now, I'm going to talk plain to you guys today, really plain. But we have struggled, and I don't get it. And I've been asking God, what gives? It has even kept me up at night. Can't figure out what is it. I've gone, hey, God, you want me out? Give me the left foot of fellowship and boot me out of here. Right? Go for it. I'll even put myself in plain sight of you so you don't miss. Right? Seriously, it's like, what is going on? What is this? We tried, when I say we, I'm speaking of our senior leadership team, which is elders and board and staff. We've tried different approaches, trying different things to correct, to do things, and we go. And it's just like, I came to the point where I came to the end of myself, really, is what it is. And I know that we say that's a good thing when we come to the end of ourselves, but it's painful as anything to get there. And nobody likes getting there. The getting there is not fun at all. And see, the thing was, it was like, you don't want us here? What? What is it? What's the deal? What is this? And I know in my heart, God brought us here. He brought us here into this neighborhood. He wants us here. He has plans for us. He has plans for the people that live around here. God cares for this neighbor, this wider, bigger area of Cambridge. He loves the people here. And he's called us. We've been privileged to be able to serve him here in this community. Now, there are a number of things that God has spoken to me over the years, number of things. But let me say this, 2016 will go down in my books, as almost go down in our history. No, we'll go down in my books as the year that God tapped us, the senior leadership team, on the shoulder. Bang, bang, bang. And had a word for us. Now, I've shared this with the senior leadership, and to this day, I am convinced that just like the Israelites, we experienced a shift. We did? Moi? Right? Me? Us? No. Yes, we experienced a shift. Very subtle, but over time, the wear begins to show. It was interesting. As you know, when I lay out some teaching series, I really pray into it. I ask the Lord, where do you want to go with this? And what I find that's very uncanny on this, and I'm sure most people who teach, preach, will say the same thing, is you lay out a course, and son of a gun, it's actually the Lord wants to speak to you first through it, then you can speak to the people. And you don't even know that you're setting yourself up for God to be able to speak through to you. And this past fall, we did a shift. Speaking of shifts, we did a shift in the co-pastoring model. But in November, as we entered into end of October, going into November, we started a little short series on the book of Galatians. Galatians is simply Paul's letter to the Christians in the city of Galatia, saying to them, here Paul was puzzled. You started with grace. Get it? That's how you became a follower of Christ. It was grace. But all of a sudden, you're being very legalistic. And by the way, that's not our problem. We're not legalistic. And you're being legalistic. How did you shift over being living under according to the law as opposed to living in freedom and grace? I don't get that. That was Paul's point to the in that letter. Here I am. I'm going to be speaking on November the 13th, a Sunday, and I'm preparing for, I'm looking at chapters 3 and 4, and I'm going in there, and it's a fairly, Paul, when Paul writes, he's very detailed, very meaty, and he can pack a lot in a few words, right? And you got to sort of unpack him a bit to try and understand his flow and his way he thinks. And so here I am trying to figure this out, just what exactly, and I do pray, as I go through, I am praying, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What does this mean? What are you speaking to us about this? So this is always going through my head, right? And so the issue, so this whole thing was Paul coming into chapter 3 in Galatians, and this isn't the point of the message, by the way, but coming into chapter 3, Paul goes, what's bewitched you? That's sort of like the words he uses, those words. But his question is, Paul reminds them that they are children of Abraham. Remember that. Abraham is your father. And he points out it was Abraham, a couple hundred years, I don't know how far, then the law came. So you're not children of the law. We're children of Abraham. See, because he said the law was given to show, to condemn you, to show where that you're wrong. But Abraham was just made, justified, or was made right, was considered righteous because of his faith in God. We are people of the promise and the freedom, right? Now, so Paul goes on to say, he wants to make a point. So Paul goes on to say, he said, look, Abraham believed because of God's promise to him. And God's promise was, you will have descendants, kids. And then things go a little wacky for Abraham. And Paul says, he points out that Abraham and Sarah was his wife, they latched onto that. Yes, the promise. Yeah. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And I don't know if anyone here, if any couple has tried to get pregnant and can't. April and I have. And you wait, and you wait, and you watch your friends get pregnant, have kids, and you wait. And it's like, what, right? And there's this, oh, we want kids so bad, right? And Sarah comes up with this great idea, fantastic idea that's going to work. And Abraham, he's full on in with it as well. And here was the idea. She said to her husband, guess what? We have this slave woman, Hagar. You know what? If you marry her, get her pregnant, we have descendants. And Abraham went, right on. They did, and they gave birth to Ishmael. However, 13 years goes by, and guess what? Lo and behold, Sarah's pregnant. What? This wasn't supposed to happen. Well, it happened. And Sarah gives birth to Isaac. God's promise fulfilled. And Paul then brings out the point that don't forget that as Ishmael and Isaac grew up, Ishmael persecuted Isaac. His point was, not that, his point was, the law persecutes you. And we are people of Isaac. We are people of the promise. The promise. Right? And his point was, you can't make yourself righteous by obeying the law. It's about belief in God and his promises. And I'm figuring all this out, and it's like, God, get it. And I get this old tap on the shoulder. And it's like the Lord says, no, actually, I got more for you. And the Lord said to me, and I can say this because I knew it. I know my physical sensations when I sense the Holy Spirit speaking. And the Lord said to me, the root of Abraham and Sarah's problem, when you dig down to it, Scott, was unbelief. Unbelief that I would provide for them. That's what it was. God says, let's call a spade a spade. It was unbelief. And I heard quickly they fell in love with the idea of having children. They wanted it so bad, that they weren't sure that I would or I could provide for them. And so they made it happen. And I was tracking. But then, do you remember like 20 years ago? I don't know if it was 20 years ago. The Toronto Sun had these things in their paper. It was just like a bunch of noise in the picture. And then you look at it long enough, you stare at it, and then you see an image, right? You see something there. But you got to stare at it. Do you remember those? What's that? What? Magic eye? Okay. I just remember that. And it comes into focus, right? And then all of a sudden, as I'm understanding, it's like, oh, you know, I'm all excited because God's showing me this deeper truth, reality, right? And I'm excited. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, it's like this picture comes into focus. And here's what I heard. You fell in love with the property. You wanted it so bad you made it happen. And you have an Ishmael. You're right that I led you to the property, but it was never my desire for you to be enslaved with such heavy debt. I was stunned sitting there in my living room. I was stunned. Stunned. And I remember sitting there and closing my eyes and going, I just didn't hear this, did I? But God, at the same time, I felt such immense love from the Father. Such immense love. Just, and that there, I knew then this was definitely from God, because God never shames, he never condemns, he doesn't do that to his kids. What he does is he lovingly points out a shift that has taken place and that he simply wants to shift back. And I basically asked, what do we do? What do I do? And all I heard was, just from now on, trust me to be your provider. Just trust me to be your provider. That's all. Never forget. Never forget it. Never forget it. And he said these words, you are not my slaves or my children. You are my friend. I love you. Just ask. Just ask. And it was like, dumb. How did I miss it? And it was, the other thing going through my head was, could you not have waited till after Sunday, then speak to me? Like, this really just throws a wrench into things right now that I'm, but it's like, and that's what I heard. Let's go back to the story in Haggai. Because of their love for God, the Israelites, and you see the Israelites really did love God, they began work on the temple, and about a month into their work, again, there was discouragement, like, is this even possible? Like, what are we doing, this attitude? And again, God has another message for them. And this is what God says to them. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? And by the way, God is not speaking to us of this and that out there, the buildings. Not. He is not. Okay? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land, and now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid, for this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought into this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. And I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Just so you know, the Lord was speaking this book, Haggai, to us over a year ago, to some of our key people in senior leadership. It was just coming to them. They didn't know why, but we've been, and it's also been the Canadian Vineyard. This too was brought up at the Metanoia gathering in Winnipeg last summer. Same thing, Haggai. That it's resonated, it's ringing through the Vineyard community throughout Canada. Your senior leadership team has begun the alignment process. And we do invite you to join us in this. We need you to join us in this process and work with us. And the encouragement and reminders that the Israelites received are for us as well. And here is God's word for us, which comes from the passage I just read to you. Number one, be strong. That's what he's speaking to each and every person here, to us, to for those of you who are on the senior leadership team. That's what he's speaking to us, to be strong. And that word be strong in the Hebrew means to be encouraged. That's a full heart, have a full heart. That means sustain, prevail, be resolute. That means it's not about getting weary or that. The cool thing about repentance is that repentance is simply turn the other way you're supposed to go, face Jesus, walk that way. It's very short. It's like, okay, you've recognized it, turn, get on with it now. Be strong. That's what we're called to do. Number one, that's number one. The second word for us is get to work. Just start. Starting in itself is an act of faith, because if God says start and you do it, it's an act of faith. Just an act of faith. That's in verse 4 of chapter 2 there. Secondly, God said to them, and he says to us, I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, my spirit is among you. In other words, if we have God with us, what can hold us back? Seriously, I'm asking. We know the right answer, but do we believe it in here? And God says, I don't give a whit about your statement of faith. I look at how you make decisions and how you do life. That tells me how you believe and what you believe. Not what you write out. That doesn't matter to me. I look at how. But he says, I am with you. And we need to, that's a shift. That's a shift we have to make, that God is with us. He's with us, for us, loves us passionately. Don't be afraid. The word he had for the Israelites going into the promised land to Joshua was be of full courage and don't fear. Why? What does fear do? Huh? It discourages, paralyzes. You stop. You don't do anything. Don't be afraid. I am with you. It's like as you step forward, God will show you what to do. As you make a step, God will show what's next, what's next. You'll do that. He promises. Did you know all wealth belongs to God? It's all his. Not just what's in your wallet. All the wealth in the world. All the wealth. Donald Trump's wealth belongs to God. And God is saying to the Israelites here, I will distribute it as I see fit. I will distribute it. In other words, if money comes in from us, that's God's wealth. But if money comes in from government grants, corporations, businesses, billionaires out there, or non-billionaires, it's his wealth. And his question to them was, you think I don't have enough or what? You don't think I can redistribute? I can redistribute. And he just wants them to push on. All wealth is his. And finally, the last thing he has for them is never wish for the good old days. Don't wish for the good old days, guys. And I know we get latched on that if we could just get back to the way it was in the roaring 90s, wouldn't that be awesome? No. Because he says there, in verse 9, he says, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace, and I, the Lord of Heaven's armies, have spoken. For in the kingdom, the future is always better than the past. Always. And so he doesn't want us to be content with the past. He wants us to go future, and he wants us to see that it'll always. He doesn't want us staying in the past. Yes, celebrate it. Yes, it's good. Yes, remember it. But look to the future. Don't wish for the good old days, guys. Don't. We don't do that. We go forward. That's God's word to us. And so with us, let's start to align. Listen, it's not easy. Realignment is never easy. You know why? Because the way we've been thinking for so long or operating has become second nature. And so that takes some time to get that second nature shifted. But here's the good news. We do this long enough, and guess what becomes second nature? this perspective becomes second nature to us. That becomes second nature, and it's just automatic. That's the truth. That's the truth. Aligning for the future begins, guys, and this is key. We sang it today. Good choice of songs, Andy and Margaret Ellen. Where are you? There you are. Jesus is our center. If we make that decision or make Jesus our first love over above everything else, everything, Jesus, it will have a domino effect on every other decision we make. If we keep that forefront, it will just domino effect. When we shifted before, it had a domino effect. God is for us, not against us. He wants us to get to work and do the work. And then we'll see his future glory. We'll see what's coming. It'll be the best decision we make for us and for future generations. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. Guarantee.